Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Let's be standing. Oh Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord, we praise your name. Oh Lord, we magnify your name. Prince of Peace, mighty God, O Lord God Almighty. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
O Lord,
we praise your name. O Lord, we magnify your name, Prince of Peace, mighty God, our Lord God Almighty. Please be seated. Psalm before the prayer this morning and scripture, hide me away, O Lord. Hide me away, O Lord. Hide me away, O Lord. In the day of trouble, neath the shadow of your wings, hide me away, O Lord. Give me your peace, O Lord. Give me your peace, O Lord. In a day of trouble, neath the shadow of your wings, give me your peace, O Lord. Safe in your dwelling place, safe in your dwelling place. In the day of trouble, neath the shadow of your wings, safe in your dwelling place. Hide me away, O Lord. Give me your peace, O Lord. In the day of trouble, shadow of your wings, safe in your dwelling place. Safe in your dwelling
place. I'll be reading from 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are children, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning, and no one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning, because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Let's pray. God, we thank you for allowing us to be here. Thank you for giving us a place to worship you and a family to worship with. Pray that we're always striving to be more like you, that we're always striving to be righteous as you are righteous. Please be with us here. Help us to serve with humble hearts. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Faithful love flowing down from the thorn-covered crown makes me whole, saves my soul, washes whiter than snow. Faithful love calms each fear, reaches down, dries each tear.
Morning. One of the things we do as Christians when we get together is we take part in our communion. We get together and we, as a body of Christ, remember the death, burial, and resurrection. Sometimes I feel like we wait until Sunday mornings to remember that. That we don't remember it throughout the week. And we wait until Sunday mornings when we're together. Like, oh, well, this is the time we're supposed to do it. In the New Testament, in Acts, they talk about Luke writing the book of Acts, talks about what the church is doing after the resurrection. And he says that they got together daily with the body. They got together daily to help others, to help the poor, to help each other. They gave of their wealth, they gave of their poverty, they gave of themselves. And when they got together, they remembered and they took part in the body of Christ. I pray that we don't forget that this isn't just a symbol. That we don't forget that this is the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ, and the body of Christ was broken for us. And that we go out tomorrow at work and we act like the body of Christ. And that when we get together, that we make time and that we get together and we remind ourselves and we remind others, each other, that we do this daily. We commune with our Lord and with each other daily, and we remember the sacrifice that he gave. Bow with me. Dear God, we come to you right now in this time that we have set aside to commune with you. We come to you with these small pieces of bread, of cracker, as symbols that they are of your body. But I pray that our lives, that as we go through our lives, we remember the sacrifice that you gave. And we live in a way that will bring honor to you. I pray that as we go take this bread right now, that we don't do it out of a repetition of this is what we do, but that we open our hearts and we pour our hearts out to you. And that now and tomorrow and the next day, we continually give ourselves to you, Lord. We continually say, we are your body, we are your hands, we are your feet. Use us as you will. As we take this bread, Lord, I pray that we will do this in a way that pleases you, Lord. That this will be a declaration of our commitment to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Bow with me. Again, Lord, we come and to take this cup, this fruit of the vine, to remember the blood that was shed, your blood that was shed for us. The blood that cleanses us, Lord. I pray that we will take this cup with that in mind and that we will go through this life every day, remembering that it is your blood that makes us clean. And remembering what that truly means for us. And I pray that we will act accordingly. In Jesus' name, amen. In the foyer, there are two trays. I believe both of them are still out there for any contributions you'd like to give to this church or to our missions. Right now, I'm going to pray over those. Dear God, I pray for the ministries that we are a part of. I pray for the ministries that we support financially, for the missions that we support overseas. I pray that we would give all of ourselves to you, Lord, to give our lives, not just our finances. I pray that you will use your hand and use us as your hands and feet to spread your good news and to show your love to the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Psalm number 413.
Lord, be there for me when I call. Be there for me when I call. Be there for me to
standing. After this, we'll have our lesson.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it has not suffered loss. From
Good morning, church. I've got a question for you this morning. and I'd like an answer. Why do you want to be like Jesus? Why do you want to be like Jesus? Yes, Donna.
Because he makes me feel good. He loves me, and I'm happy.
Because his love fills you with joy.
Yes.
All right. All right. Anybody else? Do what? Hard to narrow it down? Well, then that means there are so many options you should be able to fire off any of them. Right? So give me one. Just say one of them out loud.
He taught me that love is the root of courage.
Okay.
Because everything he did in love. And that love and obedience gave him enough courage that even though he was rejected, despised, beaten, maimed, hung on the cross, he never buckled.
Okay.
And it was all because
of love. All right. Tony said that the love of Jesus is such an example of courage and strength. Josh? And there's no other perfect example. Yeah, that's fair. For all he did for us, this is what he asks of us. Okay. All right. Okay. Okay, so the best that God has to offer has been given to us, and that's all through Jesus. And so we don't want to settle for anything less.
How would you translate for a better life, not just afterlife, a better, more full life, not just an easier life, but a better life?
Okay, so we believe that Jesus did it right, that he lived it right, and following in his example makes our life good. Excellent. Thank you for sharing this morning. I just wanted you to hear it. Let's go to our Father in prayer, and then we'll get in the Word. Our Father in heaven, we have come together this morning to celebrate all of your gifts. Your love, your mercy, your forgiveness, fellowship, acceptance, family. Father, you have given us the best you have to offer, your Son, Jesus Christ. We are humbled. We are amazed. We are blown away that you would care for us so much to lavish upon us all that you have. And our desire, Father, our desire is to be like Jesus. Our desire is to walk in his steps. And this morning, Lord, we're going to be reminded of why your authority is the only one worth following. Father, we ask for more of your Holy Spirit. We ask for more of your presence in our lives. We ask for a deeper and stronger faith so that when tempted, we will not fall. When tempted, we will not give in. Father, we bless your name with our tongues as we have made the good confession. We bless your name with our voice as we sing songs of praise. We bless your name with our hearts as you are the only one who lives in the throne within us. And we bless your name with our hands and our feet, as we do the good things that Jesus has shown us to do. We love you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for saving us. We thank you for opening our eyes. And we pray, Lord, that when things get difficult, we pray, Lord, when the enemy is all around, that we will not give up hope, that we will trust you in all things, that we will be faithful to you in all things, that we will be reminded, Father, that suffering is temporary and your glory is eternal. We pray together in Jesus' name. Amen. At the end of Luke's gospel, Jesus, after dying for the sins of the world, after being buried and put in the ground and having the seal put over the stone, having guards standing there, not allowing anyone to mess with his body, Jesus comes back to life. He is raised from the dead. And after being raised from the dead, at the end of the gospel, he has some encounters with his followers. Now, he's had encounters with his followers all throughout his ministry, but things have changed. Things have changed. And at the end of Luke's gospel, in Luke chapter 24, we're going to start this morning and see the authority that God has over all things. The authority that God has over all things. In Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 36, as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to you, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. But he said to them, "Why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." In the greatest "I told you so" moment, Jesus comes back and he says, "Look, it really is me. You can see me. You can touch me. I'm here. I'm here." And of course, his disciples who had witnessed the crucifixion, they had seen him hanged on the cross. They had seen him put in the tomb. They were shocked, overjoyed, confused. And I think that's fair. I think that's fair, because if any of us had witnessed this miracle with our eyes, we would have been the same way. I mean, it's one thing to hear something. It's one thing to be told something, to see something. But then when it is a reality. And I think it's fair to say as well that the disciples were experiencing something that, you know, we say it a lot. It's too good to be true. that this event was really too good to be true. And Jesus says, look, I told you so. Everything written about me had to be fulfilled. Everything that God's word has been given to you pointed to this. And so it had to happen. I love that. The law of Moses, the prophets, the Psalms, all of it, everything in the Old Testament was pointing to Jesus. This is how it had to go down. This is the suffering that had to occur because I had to die for the sins of the world. And yet death could not hold him. Death could not hold him. Jesus died for our sins and he was raised for our justification. And then the last thing that he says to him in verse 49, I'm going to send the promise of my Father upon you. You are going to be clothed with power from on high. And so Jesus, telling his disciples that you have work to do, and I have to go away, I have to go back to my Father, but we are going to clothe you with power from on high. That you have been walking these years with me, learning to obey, learning to follow, learning to live, learning that you don't need to fear, learning how to submit to God's authority in a real way, not just following of the rules, because again, this is probably one of the biggest misconceptions that religious people and disciples of Jesus, one of the biggest differences between them is that religious people tend to follow rules for the sake of following rules, and disciples of Jesus follow Jesus. That's a big deal. He made a big deal about that throughout the Gospels. And so he says, you're going to be able to do this because I am going to send you power from God. And it's going to clothe you. It's going to cover you. It's going to envelop you. It is going to be your authority to live all the days of your lives and carry you into eternity. Church, I think it's important for us to remember, to be reminded of the authority of God. The authority of God that you and I have willingly, gratefully put ourselves under. He gave us a choice. He gave each and every one of us a choice and says, do you want to be under my authority or do you want to be free from my authority? It's a scary choice, isn't it? I mean, we know what it looks like when a person lives their life under the authority of God. We also know what it looks like when someone lives their life free from the authority of God. It's a stark contrast. It's a scary contrast. And there are times in our lives where we read something in God's word and say, but you know, maybe something else. Right? Because you and I, as good religious Christians, we would never outright say, well, yeah, okay, well, I know it says that, but I don't think I really want to do that. Or I know that that's what God's word says, but I think I'm exempt. Now, we would never do that. We would never do that. Yet, at the same time, we find ways to follow lesser authorities, do we not? We find ways in our lives to, well, you know, maybe there's an exception, or maybe it's translated this way, or maybe God really meant this. Back a few chapters in Luke chapter 20, when they were asking him about where his authority comes from, in Luke chapter 20, the chief priests, the scribes, the elders, they came up to him, so you need to tell us, Jesus, what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority? And he said, look, I'll tell you what. You want to know where my authority comes from to do and say all the things that I have done and said. You answer me this question and I'll let you know. And so he asks him about the baptism of John. Was this from man or was this from God? And again, in one of those wonderful, and this, you know, Jesus really, this was, I don't know, it's a religious huddle is what it is. And Jesus calls the play and they go, all right, hang on a minute. And I just kind of picture them coming over, and they got all their heads in, their shoulders wrapped around each other. If you've ever been in a football huddle, and they're like, all right, Jesus has asked this question, so what are our options? What are our choices? Well, if we say it's from God, then he'll say, okay, then why didn't you follow God's word? Ooh, that's not very good. Okay, so let's try a pass play. The running play looks like it's not going to work. Let's try the pass play. If we say it's from man, you know, the quarterback looks up. Oh, you see the crowds, all the people around, they want to see. No, if we say it from man, all these people thought that John really was a prophet and they'll get us. So they come up and say, we don't know. Time out. We don't know. And Jesus says, well, that I'm not going to tell you by what authority I do these things. What? What do you mean you're not going to tell us what authority you do these things? Look, church, you've experienced this before. I've experienced this before. Sometimes when following the highest authority, it's kind of difficult in dealing with lesser authorities, is it not? I mean, that's some of our biggest problems. Is we live our life still in this world following the greatest, highest authority that is. And yet, lesser authorities are always vying for our obedience, our attention, our willful submission. And this is one of those times when Jesus, following the highest authority that exists, is looking at those with lesser authority and saying, look, guys, I'm out of your league, in essence. This is above your pay grade. You are down here. You are dealing with these earthly things, and I am dealing with greater things up here. I am dealing with God's authority. That's what I'm going to follow. And sometimes we're going to get stuck, aren't we? And sometimes it's going to cause trouble. Did it cause Jesus any trouble to only follow God's authority? It did, didn't it? Yeah, got him in trouble. People didn't like it. It frustrated them. It angered them. It caused them to do evil things to him. And yet, there was not a single time when Jesus allowed himself not to follow God's authority. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul picks up on this idea of authority, and wonderfully so. I don't know if you're aware of this, you may be, that the book of Romans is one of the most highly contested books of the Bible. It is one that some people would like to go away, to disappear, to not have been written. It has been argued over the years of how authoritative it is, or you know, really just like anything else, if it speaks truth, we just kind of get rid of it. And the reason why that is, I mean, if you go through and read the book of Romans, what was the letter of Paul's letter to Romans, Paul deals with so many eternal truths, and here's why it's a thorn in so many side, is that Paul in Romans, though he's speaking to believers, he is basically revealing to everyone what is the reality of existence in this world. So he's not just saying, okay, believers, you need to know these things to follow Jesus, but he is saying, look, this is God. We have to remember the God, the only God, the creator of all things. He is above not only us that sit here this morning. He is above everyone and everything. He has the authority. And so Paul in Romans points that out. That's why a lot of people don't like Romans. Well, I don't want to hear you religious people tell me that I'm under some kind of authority. That's not an authority that I chose, that I agreed to. And Paul points it out and says, look, it's just a fact. You can't escape God's authority. You might fool yourselves into thinking that you're exempt from it for a while, But no one will escape the authority of God. And so, he says here in Romans chapter 8, let's go down to verse 31. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. So, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Look, I'm convinced that neither death or life, angels, rulers, things that are here now, things that may come, powers, height, depth, nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So Paul, here in Romans chapter 8, comes out with this amazing truth. God is for us. God is for us. God is for us. God is for us. How many people have you talked to and met that they just don't understand this fact and they think that God is an enemy to be defeated? That God is somehow just a power-hungry deity that is looking for fealty? No, God is for us. God is for us. Some people just can't stand the fact that He has more authority than we do. Some people can't stand the fact that He has more power than we do. But again, that's why the Apostle Paul, earlier in this letter, points back to creation. When he says, look, whether you're a Christian or you're not a Christian, the fact remains that God created all things. And having created all things, He is ruler over all things. It's all His. It's all His. And He is now blessing you with all those things. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? God has lavished us with all good things, even His only Son. Nothing will separate us from God's love. So church, no matter how hot it gets, no matter how difficult it becomes, no matter the temptation or the pressure or the pain or the suffering, none of that will separate us from God's love. None of it will separate us from God's love. So we trust His authority. We do not trust temporary authorities. We do not trust temporary powers that are destined to go away. We do not trust temporary authorities or submit to those temporary authorities that in the end will not stand. And why would we trust any other authority when none of them love us as God does? God is worthy to be trusted, worthy to be followed, worthy to be served because of His great love. It's because of His great love. I mean, if you have all the authority and all the power, how do you get people to respond to you positively? I mean, you can coerce. You can manipulate. But God didn't do that, did He? God didn't do that. God wanted to show all of us that he is worthy of trusting in every situation, so he showed us love like we have never seen before. He has given us all good things, even his only son. You know, when tempted to follow someone else, I want you to ask yourself, what have they given up for me? I mean, really, what have they sacrificed for me? I know what God has sacrificed for me. I know what God has provided for me. And that's why I will trust him. That's why I will submit to him. That's why I will follow what he says. Ben read for us in 1 John chapter 3. One of the amazing reasons to submit to God's authority. And that's that 1 John chapter 3 verse 1 says, God loves us so much he has caused us to be his children. That we have been born again with his seed. That means we have a part of God within us in our rebirth. And we have been called his children and made his family. That's how much God loves us. He doesn't love us as faithful servants. He loves us as faithful children. He calls us and allows us to be a part of his family. So we're no longer under the devil's authority. We are no longer under the devil's authority. He says there in 1 John chapter 3. He says, look in verse 6. No one who abides in God keeps on sinning. And no one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. So, abiding in God, being reborn in him, being made his child, means that we are done with sin. We are done with sin. We are forgiven. We are forgiven. Now, do we still miss the mark? Absolutely. Yes, we still miss the mark. I mean, we're aiming for the target of Jesus, and we don't always get there. We fall short. We go to the left or the right. But no one who has been born again of the seed of God, who has God living within them, deliberately just keeps on going and saying, you know what, I'm just going to sin, and I'm just going to sin. I don't care about what God says. I'm just going to do things my way, and I'm going to follow the enemy. No one born of God does that. So he says in verse 7, little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. For the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appears was to destroy the works of the devil. We are born to God's family, so we live by his eternal authority. Isn't that amazing when you think about the works of Jesus? That the reason that he appeared was to destroy the works of the devil? To take away whatever authority the enemy has. To remove it. To remove it. And to allow us to be reborn into God's family under God's authority with forgiveness of sins, with eternity taken care of, with his presence in our lives, with his, and I love this, born again into his seed, his DNA put within us. His DNA put within us. That if they took a spiritual DNA test, whose would you be? Whose would you be? Well, I would be God's. I'm a part of his family. I'm his child. I belong to him. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13 verse 1. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. You know, as I was studying and thinking about God's authority and the authority that we live by and the authority that we follow this week, God allowed me an interesting interaction. And so I went to a place of business this week, and the owner was talking to me, and he kindly asked me to put my mask on. And I've known him for a while, and so I obliged, and I asked him a question. I asked for permission to ask for a question. Don't you love that? When you ask for permission to ask somebody a question. I said, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. I said, now that the governor, the one who put us under the mask mandate in Texas, who said you gotta wear it everywhere, has now said you don't gotta wear it everywhere. I said, I'm just curious. I said, because I'm not one who's wearing it everywhere, and you still want us to wear it in your business. I said, if you're not going to listen to what the governor has said for this week, what are you waiting for? I wasn't being facetious. I was just honestly asking him. I said, I'm just curious. Because you follow the authority to do it, but you're not following the authority to remove it. So I'm just curious, what authority are you waiting for? That was my question. And honestly, as a Christian, if you have encounters, I would love for you just to ask someone that question and not being lying on the ground, being handcuffed for causing a scene. Just do what Jesus did. Sometimes following Jesus means you just hold people's face up to themselves and say, hey, take a look. Where are we at? And that's all I wanted to do. I still like this person. I respect them. I wasn't trying to cause a fight. I just asked him, what are you waiting for? And he explained to me, and he said, well, you know that I have a special needs daughter, and I really don't want to expose her. And so, personally, I'm waiting for my vaccination. I said, okay. And that was it. We conducted our business, and we still had a conversation. Honestly, church, I share that story because if we live by God's authority and we are not trapped by all other lesser authorities, you can have a positive impact on other people. You're not going to have a positive impact. I'm not going to have a positive impact in just saying, well, I'm free and that's not going to help anybody. It's just not. Is it true? Yes. But it's not going to help anybody. But if I can gently cause someone to look at themselves and question by what authority they're actually following, that might make a difference. That might make a difference. Because as uncomfortable as all this has been going into, you've discovered already, I'm sure, that coming out is going to be just as uncomfortable. It is. And so I think it's a great question to ask people. Then by what authority are you living by? What authority are you choosing to place yourself under? It's a great question. And it really, said in a gentle way, I think causes people to just, oh, okay, all right. I need to take an honest look at that. So, Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 tells us that living under the authority of God, here's how we treat other people. Let brotherly love continue. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop loving other people. Well, why? Well, I'm under God's authority and they're under lesser authorities and they can't even answer me a question about John's baptism. So who cares about them, right? They have no effect on my life. We'll just live and let live, right? I'll do my thing. They do their thing. I'm in the light. They're in the dark. So be it. They had their shot. Besides, they're a bunch of pigs, and I'm not going to waste my pearls on them. Or we let brotherly love continue. Or we do not let our hearts grow cold because of the darkness all around us. And we realize that being like Jesus, and again, you can't run away from that one because I asked you at the beginning. why you follow Jesus. Why do you want to be like Jesus? Because he's perfect. He did it right. So we will let brotherly love continue. We'll not hide from it, but we will engage with it. We will engage with it. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, because some of you have entertained angels unawares. Some of you have entertained angels by being kind to strangers. Michael, do you really believe that? Yes. I do. I also understand that angels means messengers, so they may not have golden wings coming out of their back to be an angel, but they may be a messenger of God. You may need to see something. You may need to hear something. And by being kind to them, you may have hosted some of them, even but for a short time. Verse 3, remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Hey, this is, there are those that are literally in prison. Are there those that we encounter that are spiritually in prison? Yeah, there are. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Respect your wedding vows. Be true to your spouse. We don't say it here very often, but there are so many defilements and temptations of a sexual nature that we face every single day. Keep yourselves pure. Keep yourselves pure. You swore before God to forsake all others and to become one flesh with this other person. So you respect that vow. Keep your life free from the love of money. Be content with what you have. We're not chasing the dollar. Good news is being devalued every day, so it's not worth as much as it was anyway. But it's not worth chasing. However many you have, however many more you think you need, it's not worth chasing. Keep your life free from the love of money. It's not going to buy you any extra time. It's not going to buy you anything truly important. So be content with what you have. If God saw fit to give you what you have, then be content with it. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You can be content because God is with you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Ooh. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teaching. So, church, today, this week as we live our lives under God's authority, do good. Do good. God has promised never to leave you. So don't be led away by strange things. Don't be led away by strange teachings. The authority that you and I are under as followers of Jesus Christ is the same authority that Jesus Christ is under, and that of the Father, that of the Creator, that of the only authority that will last. Don't follow someone who would lead you to death. Stay committed to the one who has done everything for you. Because you're going to be tempted. You're going to be tempted to follow another authority. Most of the time, it's just ourselves as authority, right? We're just tempted to follow and make ourselves happy, to fulfill our own desires, make ourselves the authority of our own lives. That's not who we are. We've been born again. We've been born again with God's seed. We put to death the deeds of the flesh. We have confessed that He alone is righteous, and He alone is who we want to be like, and He alone is who we want to be with. You know, there is a there's another "I told you so" coming. When Jesus came back from the dead, He pointed to the Scriptures and He said, "Look, I told you so. It had to happen. It had to happen, so take the good news and let everybody know. You're witnesses. You're witnesses. Take it to them." There is another "I told you so" coming, and that is all enemies will fall before Jesus. All lesser authorities will go away. They will be exposed as the powerless charlatans that they are. When the King returns, all of His enemies will be put down. And those who follow Him, who walk in His steps, who live for Him, we will gladly bend the knee, confess with our mouths, sing praises for what He has done for all eternity, because He is good. So make sure this week, that you are only following the authority that you should be. Make sure this week you are only following the authority that you have confessed. Jesus Christ is Lord. You have no other. So serve no other. This morning, if you have not put on Christ, if you have not been born again into God's family, we invite you to do so. And this week, for those of us that are born into God's family, for those of us that recognize and live by one authority, let's do so. Let's do so. We do so because of love. We are compelled to be like Jesus because Jesus is so wonderful, because Jesus is so great, because Jesus is fantastic. Our eyes have been opened. We have been filled with His Spirit to guide our lives to live that perfect life that Jesus lived. Now, remember one last thing, church. If it's powerful and good enough for you and I to live by, then it's probably important enough for you and I to share it with others. If you need to respond this morning, you have an opportunity. Let's stand together and sing.
The ways of thee. I have a few announcements. Gary Cash has returned home from the hospital, but he still has no voice. The Stones are traveling, and perhaps others will be traveling. We need to keep them in our prayers. This is apparently spring break. They took my spring break away. So. Some kids are having fun this week. We're thankful for the rain that we got a couple of days ago, and good to see Fern and Hurley. Pray for our brother Gary that he will be comforted at home now and